News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07. We'll get around to Iran as we go along here this morning. Obviously, we've got our three big things that we were hitting on earlier today as well, including that Jerry Carl and now comes down to Jerry and Brett Marcus tightening up, it looks like, in the polls. What Israel is doing in Lebanon, it's certainly under not everybody crazy about all of that, but they're saying we're just protecting ourselves. We're taking out missile launchers and things like that that are pointed toward us, but civilian casualties seem to be happening in this as well.
Yeah, so less than 10 vessels have transited the strait in the last 24 hours. You have Fox saying that over 3,000 vessels are there at that choke point, 3,200 just waiting, and 800 of those vessels are tankers and cargo ships. And now you have Vice President J.D. Vance, who's taking off for Islamabad, Pakistan, for talks on ending the conflict.
Trump was worried about his safety and security, was considering not sending Vance over there. When is this going to become very apparent that it is indeed a ceasefire? It doesn't feel like one yet.
No, but we also haven't seen the widespread bombing that we've been seeing here these last few weeks. Meanwhile, in the other war, which we haven't talked about a whole lot these last few weeks, reports this morning Ukraine's top negotiator and head of the presidential office, Kirill Budanov, has said he has seen progress on a potential deal with Russia over their ongoing war. He says he believes that Russia would also like to see an end to the conflict. And you have a ceasefire supposedly set to begin between the two for this Orthodox Easter weekend, Putin announcing that it would begin tomorrow at, I want to say, let me pull it up so I can tell you exactly when.
And I think
tomorrow at 4 p.m. maybe is when.
And Zelensky says he's okay with that, right?
Yes, he did. So, yeah, they'll pause combat Saturday at 4 p.m. through the end of Sunday for Orthodox Easter. Zelensky did say he would comply, but everyone has noted that over the last 5 years, they've had similar holiday truces that have been violated by both sides.
So, right. And so I came across this comprehensive look at what Ukraine has done against Russia in March, and that might be a reason that Russia is, as Ukraine, Zelensky has said, they're ready to actually talk because of the record drone strikes and damage that Ukraine has done during the month of March.
Yeah, that completely escaped me. I had no idea.
So we're so fixated on what's going on in Iran, we didn't quite know. We try to keep up with the headlines and all, but it seemed to be just underreported. Ukraine launched over 1,000 drones in a 24-hour period. This is just one little article about what they've done. A massive scale matched by consistent long-range strikes throughout the month. High-profile strikes targeted major Russian Baltic Sea oil export hubs, causing a significant damage to storage tanks and loading infrastructure. So they did some real damage. This was all planned and all that was kind of concentrated in the month of March. You might not have been aware of this. Ukraine continued to hit Russian refineries and oil depots to reduce foreign exchange revenue for the Kremlin. Strikes in late March damaged critical energy infrastructure, prompting Russia to consider banning gasoline exports. This is really an eye-opener here. President Zelensky reported that in March alone, over 35,000 Russian personnel were killed or seriously wounded. This is according to Ukraine, driven by heavy losses in drone and artillery strikes, including 33,988 casualties attributed specifically to Ukrainian drone efforts.
Wow.
So I was not aware of just how much damage they'd done, but beyond that, 35,000 lives, again, either killed or seriously injured. Ukraine launched a systematic effort to cut gaps in Russian air defense systems, destroying radar systems and launchers. That was in March alone, 274 Russian air defense systems were reportedly hit. And also, Ukrainian forces demonstrated enhanced capability by destroying a Russian Zircon hypersonic missile launcher in Crimea. So they were getting ready. They were putting it in position to launch these hypersonic missiles, and boom, they took it out.
Wow.
So that's a lot that Ukraine has done. So if there is a if they've gotten to the point now where maybe they've got a little leverage in actually beginning to start meaningful talks.
Mm-hmm. And there's someone in the U.S. to do just that. I'll get to that. But to add to your numbers there, you had the general staff of the Ukrainian Armed Forces post here recently. And remember, these are the Ukraine numbers
right.
that we're getting here. But posted the total combat losses of Russian forces from February 24, 2022
yep.
all the way up to today.
Okay.
Is approximately 1,308,670 personnel. So I believe that's those that have been taken out of combat with injuries or deaths. And they said including 1,130 over the past day.
Whoa.
So like yesterday.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. But you do have from Russia, Kirill Dmitriev, their special envoy, who's in the U.S. meeting the members of President Trump's administration who aren't headed to Islamabad to try to end that war. So
yeah.
How great would that be? I'm not saying that it's likely. I don't even know what the odds are. I guess I'd have to check Polymarket or Kalshi's odds. But what if you could get both of these wars, ceasefires, and maybe end the war here pretty soon? That'd be
yeah.
great.
It would be great. Americans getting a little antsy at what's going on right now in Iran, obviously. And you know, this is one of the most poorly executed ceasefires that I've seen in a while. I know it's down, but it hasn't really ceased. And just to have this argument about, well, wait a minute, how about Israel? Can they still strike Hezbollah during a ceasefire? And Netanyahu said, yeah, that's not part of it. And I think Trump pretty much has gone along with that, though he's told him, please calm.
He said, keep it low key,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, get a little low key in Lebanon. And I don't know how you do one or the other. You know, he's trying to make Israel safe, but he's doing it in a way. It seems that they're harming a lot of innocent people, or that's the reports anyway. And whether the reports are accurate or not, public sentiment is going to start leaning that way mm-hmm. as more of these reports come out of Lebanon.
A lot of the anti-Trump sentiment right now are coming from people who were vociferously pro-Trump heading into this last election, and Trump went after all four of the biggest names in I guess you could say right-wing media. I haven't always thought of these four specifically as, you know, right-wing first and foremost,
mm-hmm.
but he had a crazy Truth Social post yesterday going after Tucker, Megyn Kelly, Candace Owens, and Alex Jones. And
well, I can guarantee you they all voted Republican last presidential election, whether they were the biggest in Trump. You know, remember Kelly had the most public kind of separation with Trump when he
and that was early on.
That was early on that was before 2016 elections, I think. But she came back around to the point where she was campaigning on the campaign trail for Donald Trump. Leading up to the 2024 election.
And even though she has been very much, it appears, against the war in Iran, she still said earlier this week that she would still vote for Trump because mm-hmm. it's better than the alternative regardless.
Yeah.
But, you know, these four, and they all mean something different to me. Tucker, I just followed forever and was a huge fan, and I still think that he has some good episodes of his podcast. But for me, a lot of it has kind of left me in the dust. You know, he's talking with like exorcists and things of that nature, and that's fine, you know, and it's some good content, I guess. But
God, he talked to a historian that said, and this is a little out of context, I apologize, but just to point out some of the things, some of the guests that Tucker's lined up here recently, the guy that said that Churchill was the bigger villain than
You're talking about Daryl Cooper.
Yeah, he said Churchill was a bigger villain than Hitler.
And so he's martyr made, and I think there was a lot, that's his online social, I think a lot of that was taken out of context, but Tucker did take a huge hit from that, and so did that Daryl Cooper. But that's one of those where they grabbed a small portion out of a really large conversation.
Yeah, I listened to the whole thing.
So, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And I know he's a World War II historian of sorts, although that was a big argument, too, that he's not a true historian, this Daryl
right.
Cooper. But he definitely takes a different view of things than a lot of others do.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at Megyn Kelly, and you're right, she came back around for Trump after that big fallout. and she's been really successful ever since leaving Fox News. Candace Owens, I've always felt, and I'm sure I'm going to upset some of our listeners who are big Candace fans. And again, a broken clock, right? She's right from time to time, but to me, she's more of a grifter than the other four. But her fight with the French First Lady has been something else here over this last couple of years, as she claims that the French First Lady is
a dude.
Trans, yeah, is a dude, and that's led to lawsuits with them going after Candace. And Trump yesterday standing up for Bridget Macron in this big post where he called them all nut jobs and losers. And then you have Alex Jones, who I think, you know, politically, certainly he is right wing in a lot of aspects. But for me, he's always been more of a wild card, kind of independent, doing his own thing.
Yeah.
And
entertainer in a way, I guess.
A lot of his supporters seem, more than the other three that Trump went after yesterday, to be more offended by Trump going after Alex Jones than the rest of them, because they said, look, Alex has been through a lot. And a lot of it is because of Trump. And for Trump to go after him, they're basically calling him a traitor. So Trump accused all four of having low IQs, said their criticism is driven by a hunger for clicks on what he called their third-rate podcasts. So he's feeling the pressure from them. But my question is, you know, how many of their listeners and MAGA voters feel the exact same way? Yeah. Is that indicative of a larger uprising among MAGA than Trump was prepared for with this war?
You're right. Well, and that's why I think that in my opinion, the war is, in Trump's mind, justified and the right thing to do for the nation and for the future, because he's getting the Republicans could get beat up in the midterms. Mm-hmm. His polling numbers are going way down. He's doing it to do the right thing, it seems to me, in his mind. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, you've got all these podcasters, and a lot of them were all pretty much aligned. It seems like once you had the murder of Charlie Kirk, things kind of got fractured. And even before Kirk was killed, there was people who were And as soon as he died, then people were putting words in Charlie Kirk's mouth, like, well, he kind of said to me that he was worried about this and that. Like, well, he's not here anymore, so how do we know if that's true?
Yeah, that's been pointed out, too, that he may have been the glue really holding this strange coalition together that voted for Trump. And a lot of the people that are against this war, you know, one of the main arguments, and it's one that many of those four that he went after in that Truth Social post are making, is that Israel is the one who dragged Trump into this against his own wishes and against the promises he made. And they'll tell you that maybe blackmail was used, or that the only reason Trump is in this war is because Netanyahu is holding something over him. And see, I agree with what you said. I think Trump, with all of this pushback from his own base, must be doing this because he feels it's the right thing to do and this is the right time, and results of elections be damned. Yep. That's kind of how I feel. But you have others who say, no, the whole reason he's doing this is because of Israel. And you look at what Melania Trump came out and surprisingly did yesterday in that appearance at the White House, which no one really expected.
Or really explained. Like, what was the purpose of all this? Because she's somebody, as beautiful as she is, she really is not out there, out in front very often, and never in a speaking role.
No. So she publicly denied. That's what this whole thing was about when she showed up on cameras yesterday, publicly denying any ties to Jeffrey Epstein, said she was never on his plane, never visited his island, and was not aware of any of his abuse. She said the claims linking her to Epstein are outright lies, fueled in part by fake images and fabricated statements. She acknowledged they kind of hung in the same social circle. I mean, she's a model. He dealt with models, New York, Palm Beach, but that she was never his friend. And she addressed an email from O2 that she reportedly sent to Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell. And she called that casual correspondence and nothing more. So you had some heads spinning with that yesterday. One of the theories from those who are saying that Israel is the one dragging everybody into this war is that now that Trump is bringing an end, hopefully, to the fighting, that Israel's not happy about that, and they're getting ready to drop some stories, I guess, as it were, and that Melania was trying to get ahead of that yesterday.
Wow. So. And who would have thought that in 2024, that by this point of the Trump administration, we're a year and a half in, I guess, that you could argue that Bill Maher is more pro-Trump than Tucker Carlson.
At the moment,
At the moment, Mars kind of just kind of calls balls and strikes, doesn't appreciate when Trump lashes out at him. But if you watch that show on HBO, he's actually been very fair to Trump, I think.
And if Charlie Kirk were alive, you wonder, would he have been one of those that Trump went after yesterday? Because everything I've seen, he was very much against this war leading up to his assassination.
You're right. 822, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along. What's going on? Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 826 on Mobile Mornings. Gar is going to be our guest in the little after 8:35 this morning. He is running for District 4, Baldwin County Commission, and we'll see what's going on with him.
Going to the text line, Pete asks, are we being seduced by the BS talking points? And I don't know exactly what you're referencing. I have a feeling it has to do with kind of what I was laying out there, what so many MAGA voters that are against the war in Iran, how they've been laying out their feelings on this, and many of them, I think, the main reason they don't want to go to war with Iran is because they feel that the president has been dragged into it by Israel and Netanyahu. And Pete continued here. Thank you. He said, sorry, just annoyed that the Democrat media complex is trying to give the impression that everyone is running for the exits. Americans are much more resilient and sophisticated. Most understand this moment in history. Trump is taking a shot at generational peace. And it's interesting,
taking a shot at generational peace. I would agree with that.
And it's interesting, too, though, that most of the people that are against this war, most of the Republicans against it, are from younger generations.
Yeah.
So it's very possible.
And parents of people who are, like Megyn Kelly's got kids who would be in the age of kids that would be in the service.
Fighting age.
Yeah.
That's a good point, too. So,
Brew Baker locally or in the state, he was talking about his own son who is in service right now.
He was really fired up. I was surprised about that.
Yeah, I've got my thoughts on that. I don't really want to say anything until I think it through.
Southern Jedi says, with the Iran war and pedos going unarrested, the Republicans have already lost. Literally just had to stay out of wars, arrest child predators, and cut the excessive spending. And the Republicans would have won in a landslide. I'm not going to argue with that, but I'm also not going to say that the war isn't the right thing to do.
Right. That's the thing. Politically, it has been a loser and continues to be. But if it's all about the outcome. Mm-hmm. If the outcome turns out okay, and if somehow Russia and Ukraine shake hands, wow.
Monty says the similarities to what's happening and what has happened in our country over the last few years seems to come right from the script of the series Homeland. It's uncanny. You know, I haven't seen Homeland. I'm going to have to check it out, though, if you say it's as close as it appears to be.
Good show.
Gene says BB is trying to stay out of jail. And that's another theory here, that the reason he's keeping these wars rolling is to keep from being prosecuted by his own country. You also had Michael, who said, I think Candace is a nut, Candace Owens, but her going after Macron's partner was hilarious. That was, to me, one of the more shocking parts of Trump's Truth Social post, going after Candace and Tucker and Kelly and Alex Jones, is that he defended French President Macron and his wife.
I know.
I mean, I thought that was a pretty entertaining storyline too, Michael. She made a full documentary about how Macron is actually a male. And I have to say, she made some good points.
Yeah.
But Trump absolutely standing up for Brigitte Macron yesterday.
The one right-wing podcaster that it's ironic because he was a Democrat in 2012, 13, 14 is Dave Rubin. Mm. And he was among that, bunch of podcasters. And he was among those that was actually campaigning for Trump. And he is stuck by his side, Rubin, so far, anyway.
Must sting that he wasn't a big enough name for Trump to go after him then yesterday.
Maybe that, too.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
8:35 on this Friday, Mobile Mornings. We'll talk with a candidate for Baldwin County Commission District 4, Brett Gar, coming up here in just a couple minutes. First, we head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great. Masters weekend. I know you're a huge fan of the Masters. Any green vehicles out there? Maybe we can get 75% off at McConnell Automotive.
That's right.
For Masters weekend.
I'm trying to look. You know, the new Yukon Color Pine, that's the perfect car to put out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's gorgeous. That's right. And speaking of Yukons, man, we just bought a 26, and these aren't out here, 26 AT4 with 1,200 miles on it.
Wow.
And it's going to be GM certified, which will give you an extra 12 on that factory warranty and bumps the powertrain up to 100,000 miles. And it's white. It's the right color. It's everything.
Yeah.
And traded in a big jacked up truck. I think it's 22 or 23. I'm not mm-hmm. looking at it, but I know it. They said it looks. I've talked to some people that seen it, and it looks great. So
yeah.
We'll try to have that out front, and with all the other stuff, y'all can check online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Don't forget, we got a great selection of GMCs, and got a couple of Hummers out there. Got a couple of Yukons too. So come on by and see. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. We'll be here all weekend.
Yeah, you sent me a picture too of that 26 Yukon AT4 with the 1,200 miles. That is a beautiful ride. It is not going to be out there for very long.
No, it's not. I promise you. Somebody will scoop that up because, like I said, we can't get them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just they wanted another make. I don't know why. Didn't ask questions. They wanted to know if I wanted to buy it, and I said yes.
That's great. Hey, Louie, I know you take care of the customer. You'll be doing it all weekend long. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
That's Louie Ratta. Go see him. He's at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
We've got Brett Garr in studio from down in beautiful Magnolia Springs, and Brett is running for, of course, sits in District 4.
That's correct.
And so I know that you're running for that District 4 County Commission, and but you've got to travel the whole county to get the word out.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Because the entire county votes for
everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
have you seen the price of gas lately?
Yeah, I certainly have. Yeah, and I've been running the roads a lot.
Sure.
Baldwin County is a very big county.
It's a big county, like 100 miles.
It takes about an hour to get from one end to the other.
Yeah.
And it's tough. But it's fun, too. I get to see a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time and get to meet a lot of new people.
A lot of new people, yeah.
There's a whole lot of more people in Baldwin County than there was just a few years ago.
There's more to meet.
Yeah, for sure. And they get in your way. They make that ride a little bit longer as you make your way around the county. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Brett, as we are right here in the heat of campaign season, just over a month out from these primaries. I know you've been involved in local politics before making this move, but tell us
a little bit.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Not a lot. I was on the town council in Magnolia Springs, where I live, about 12, 13 years ago. And that was really enjoyable, but at
did
the
you
time,
serve with my friend Joe Sankey at the
I
same
did,
time?
Sure did.
Yeah, I know Joe's
a great guy.
Yeah, so, yeah, and so you've been involved with that. Also, talk about your work history with Volkert and how you think that's going to play a role in your expertise and some of the things that you have to tackle.
Okay, yes. I retired from Volkert Engineering in 2021 after 29 years. And I ran the environmental department for the company.
Wow.
And, you know, we were roads and bridges. That's what we did a lot of, or mostly, and environmental restoration work. We did a lot of that.
Wow.
And between infrastructure, roads, bridges, and environmental restoration work, I thought it's a good fit for being a county commissioner.
Yeah, I'd say so. Lots of roads and bridges, new ones being built every day.
Yeah.
So that's a big topic here. And the reason so much infrastructure is being put in Baldwin County is because that growth is just unreal. Yeah. I would imagine District 4 maybe has the highest growth of all the districts
I
out
think
there.
I think kind of just
a little more
between
eastern.
The District 2 and the Eastern Shore, and then District 4, which is Magnolia Springs, Foley, Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, and Alberta.
Yeah,
area that's different.
Yeah, part of the, you know, we talk about the growth in Baldwin County. There's some areas of Baldwin County where it's kind of grown out. I mean, it's already
out of room almost.
You know, good luck finding any space.
Well, you could say that about Orange Beach for sure. There's not much left.
Right.
I mean, now they have acquired annexed property on the north side of the bay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, I don't think, there's not a lot going on there as far as Orange Beach is concerned. It's still rural Baldwin County as far as those residents are concerned.
Right, right.
So your conversations with potential constituents, you know, just the folks who will be, you hope, writing your name down for the primary next month, how much of those discussions have been about overdevelopment and people moving
almost
down?
Almost everybody you talk to, there's two big issues with them is overdevelopment and infrastructure not keeping up with that development.
Right.
And that's why I think what I did for a living is a good fit, because we dealt with infrastructure that's not keeping pace, and the development that's causing it. So that's what my job was.
You know, every time we see a proposed neighborhood development come along, it seems that there are a pretty staunch group of people who are just against it every single thing, right? And then you have others who are maybe, okay, that seems fine, bring that subdivision in, this one doesn't look too hot. Where do you take them each by case-by-case basis?
You have to, and it's all about finding balance, even with natural resources. You know, folks want to live here, and the reason they want to live here is the same reason that all of us already live here, and I understand that, but we don't want to lose our quality of life and our heritage and our natural resources. So to me, a commissioner's job is to find that balance, and the way I think you do that is make sure any proposed development is consistent with what's already there.
So not far from it.
And not overwhelm you.
Right. And I don't say being overwhelmed necessarily, but what's going on in Foley right now, not far from Magnolia Springs at all, that development has been just high density, just one neighborhood after another. So I'm sure that...
You're talking about on the south side of Foley?
Yeah, in the city of Foley, I'm sure they're managing all that. But what do you see the future of your district in Baldwin County in terms of how important is it to manage it, and how do you manage it when people just want to... They want to be part of it.
Well, it's both municipal projects and county projects.
Yeah.
And the way everybody has master plans, comprehensive plans, rather, for the cities, and the county has a master plan or a comprehensive plan, and we need to mesh those and make sure they're consistent with each other.
Yeah, I know there's sometimes when both representatives from Orange Beach and Gulf Shores will visit Montgomery or Washington, D.C. together, right?
Right.
Be more comprehensive.
And that's generally for infrastructure projects, not with zoning.
Development,
And development projects. Okay. And so they're trying to work together as one voice to get the bigger projects like the Beach Express, road projects done.
Okay.
You know, the commission has, when we're talking with Brett Garr, by the way, candidate for Baldwin County Commission, District 4, and the commission has been a big part of this story with the Stockton solar farm, right? I mean, it's really blown up over this past month.
Yes, it has.
And that also has to deal with the environment taking out timber and building that there. What have you heard, I guess, from people? Have they been bringing that up as you've been campaigning?
Well, we had a big meeting there this week, and I heard there were about 200 people. I thought it was probably more than that, but... I would say
you were at the meeting.
Yes, sir. I was.
Okay.
And there was one person there, I believe, that was pro, and then the 199 that were against it.
Wow.
And you know, it doesn't make sense to me to bulldoze. I'm all in favor of property rights, but it makes no sense to clear 2,000 acres of forest to put in something you call green infrastructure. That doesn't make sense. Why not put it where it there's already disturbance, this an area that's already flat, and it doesn't have the kind of resources, high quality wetlands that could most likely be impacted if they try to grade that site. And those are the kind of questions that were brought up, and I don't think anybody's against solar power. They're against clearing that site and grading it and flattening it, and the impact it'll have on the wetlands and the the creeks. There's three creeks that run through it, too.
Okay. In your travels in Baldwin County, would you say that you've come across a number of sites that would be a better for that to be done?
Yeah, I mean, areas that are already developed, well, parking lot would be a better place to me. It's flat, and it's already disturbed, and warehouses. There's all kinds of areas that have already been disturbed that would be better locations.
Yeah. Interesting that they chose that one.
Yeah.
And there's a reason they did is because they say there's transmission lines that they can tie into. And I understand that, but there's probably also transmission lines in a lot of other places, too, that make more sense.
Yeah, and we're talking with Brett Gar here. It's interesting, too, that with the whole county voting on the commissioner seats, even though you represent a certain district, you know, the needs of your district or the wants of the constituents in District 4 might not be the same as some of those in the more rural parts of the county. How do you weigh that?
Totally
as a
different.
Commissioner?
Yeah. You're 100% right. The people living in Gushores and Fort Morgan have totally different needs or concerns than people living in Stockton, for example, or Elsinore or Alberta or Rosington. And you can, one shoe doesn't fit all.
Yeah.
You got to talk to them and listen and see what the concerns are and then work around that.
Hmm. You know? And, you know,
not try to use one thing to fit everything.
You couldn't. I mean, you're right. The communities are too different.
That's right.
We're in such a growth phase in Baldwin County and Mobile County as far as industry is concerned and bringing in big corporations and big businesses that are bringing jobs and money along with them. How important is it to you, and we've talked about some of the environmental concerns of some of these things, but how important is it for you if you're become commissioner to keep that industry growth going but making sure it's kind of phased in the right way?
It's very important. I mean, you know, I'm a fifth generation from Baldwin County, and I've got three children and two grandchildren now, and a lot of friends and of different generations that, you know, I want to see live in Baldwin County and have a good place to work. So I want to encourage good growth of jobs wherever we can.
So you, when were you a member of the South Alabama Land Trust? That's obviously a,
I still am. Okay. I'm on the board of directors for the SALT board, and I've been there for a couple of years.
Talk about the work that they do, because I think that could be considered a qualifier as well for you. It's protection, land protection, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, SALT has put about 12,000 acres in conservation over the years.
Just recently you did.
That's been over about 15 years.
But I'm just saying recently that there was a press release of some land that you have preserved in central Baldwin County, I believe.
Yeah, we just purchased about 148 acres, I believe it is.
Yep.
We buy are normally smaller parcels, not big. I wish we could buy 4,000 acres in La Stockton and fix that problem. That would be perfect. But we can't afford that kind of thing. But, you know, we could serve a purpose there and help, and it'll be a part of the equation if that's the way it went. But generally, we work on smaller parcels and primarily on waterfront property.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, we've spent a lot of this time, just like I'm sure the folks you've been reaching out to in Baldwin County, talking about overdevelopment, population growth. What are some other items that are important to you or that have been brought up to you that people are concerned about, they don't feel the county commission is listening to them as much on, or they just want to make sure you continue to follow through with what's already being done? Any other big issues that aren't maybe related to overdevelopment or population growth? Or does that seem to be the number one and two?
Yeah. Overdevelopment, farmland protection is something that people are concerned with. And, you know, and there aren't a lot of protection issues, ways for farmland to go. It's a voluntary thing. But there are some things, and I'd like to make sure the public is aware of those opportunities for farmland through tax credits and land trusts like SALT.
Yeah,
that can help farmers, you know, keep farming.
I would think that one thing alone makes you unique in all of this And it's just got to do with the fact that you're sixth generation Baldwin County.
Well, I'm fifth.
Fifth, okay.
Yeah, I might.
But even fifth generation in Baldwin County, can't be many families like that. That's pretty remarkable. So what's the history?
Yeah, well, my family moved to Baldwin County in 1880. And in fact, my wife has a shop in Foley that she just retired from, but we still own the building that my great-great-grandfather built. Ancestors. So we've had somebody in my family working in the Foley area for about 120 years.
Wow.
In my family.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Some Baldwin County bona fides there. So.
Yeah.
We appreciate your time with us this morning. Before we let you go, kind of lay it out there for the voters that are listening, a pitch here for why they should vote for Brett Gaher for County Commission District 4.
Okay. Being the fifth generation, I've got an invested reason to take care of Baldwin County. I retired from Volkert Engineering, and I think that gave me a good foundation of infrastructure and understanding growth and how we need to take care of infrastructure and try to manage growth. And I've got a vested reason in taking care of the county because I've got generations behind me, my children and my grandchildren, and a lot of friends having been there a long time that I want to take care of Baldwin County and make sure it's done so we can enjoy it for generations to come.
It's been a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for making the drive over here.
Well, thank you,
to Mobile
guys.
Mornings here at in Big Old Mobile.
Well, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you.
We appreciate it. You know, we really make the Baldwin County candidates work for it.
Yeah.
Driving all the way over here. So
he's already driving to Stockton. He's okay.
Thanks for that time, Brett. Brett Gaher joining us this morning, running for Baldwin County Commission District 4. That primary on the way, May 19th. It will be here before you know it.
852, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. We'll let you know who's coming up on Jeff's show.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Okay, my phone's not behaving. Todd Stacy with Alabama Daily News is going to be a guest on the Jeff Poor Show. Chris Elliott at a different time. Chris is going to be on at 10:35 rather than 11:35. That's because Will Hampson is going to be filling in for Jeff the final hour of the Jeff Poor Show, which starts at a few minutes here on FM Talk 106.5.
It is on the way. Text line, Rick says, "Hi, welcome to Baldwin County. Now go home." Which, yeah, that's certainly the sentiment that a lot of Baldwin County residents have. Let's see here. Moz says, an article from Foundation for Defense of Democracy by, is it C.V. Khan? Iranian and Iran-backed attacks against Americans, 1979 to 2025. This lays out all of the attacks on Americans since the Islamic Revolution in Iran.
Okay.
Gardner says, so few young people have served in the Army, and they have no appreciation for what the military has done, and they lack the respect for the United States that the military has because these service members put their lives on the line for the U.S.
You'll see what's going on in Europe, where like one in five young Germans are saying they will not, they're going to leave the country. They've got no sense of patriotism at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Country is completely destroyed, I guess you could say, through a lot of immigration and maybe the weakness of their leaders. Fair to tie that
sure.
in, too.
I would say, yeah.
And texter here was late tuning in. What was Dr. Bill's weather number? It was 1.9770, and Jason was the closest there. So, again, congratulations to Jason. I know what I will be doing tonight, right around 7 o'clock. I'll have the TV on, and I'll just leave it on after the Masters wraps up for round two today because Artemis 2 coming back to Earth.
You have to switch the channel. It's not going to be on ESPN.
For your sake, I hope it's not on TNT or True TV.
And I'll be downtown at the Loda Art Walk.
No, maybe so. You could just look up in the sky then, although it'll be on the other side of the country that the Orion capsule splashes down. So re-entry set for 6:53 Central Time. Splashdown targeted for 7:07 p.m. Central Time.
Wow, that's quite the number.
Yeah, and
precise.
We've been keeping up with their trip around the moon. Remember the sewage lines frozen in the capsule? They had to point it towards the sun to thaw it out. That sounds like that's been the only real issue they've had throughout this trip. But this is the most intense moment coming up. Maybe next to takeoff, or maybe more intense. Temperatures of 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit, traveling at 25,000 miles an hour. with their lives depending on a 16.5-foot heat shield on the bottom of the capsule.
Wow. It's good luck to them for sure. 6:59. Y'all have a good one. And Dalton and I will talk to you on Monday.
Miss a show?
No!
No problem. Podcasts of your favorite FM Talk 106.5 shows are waiting for you right now at fmtalk1065.com. And never miss a minute of the best in local talk when you subscribe to FM Talk 106.5 on iTunes or Stitcher.